I want to welcome all of you to our podcast From My Kitchen Table. For those of you who do not know me, I am Jo Packham, editor-in-chief of your magazines, Where and What Women Create. Our podcasts will be coming to you weekly, and I do hope that you will visit the website and listen to each one. I will be introducing you to the famous in our industry, those you may not know, and experts who can help us on our journey, whether that be art, business, or wellness. Our guests have much to teach, to share, and to give each of us. I would like to introduce you to our guest today. I have known her for several years, but I feel like it's been a lifetime. She is such a wonderful person. She is one of the good ones, one of us who is not only considered among us, but she leads us in all that she does. Our guest today lives in North Central Connecticut with her husband, Dan, and Siamese snowshoe kitty, Luna. She is Mimi to two really fun little girls, both age two, and loves to garden, bake, and hand stitch. She has been a maker since she was a toddler and has a BS in fine arts, painting, and photography. She always claims she never met a craft she didn't like, except for plastic canvas. Then she met someone that changed her mind. She has served on several nonprofit board of directors as a way to give back to the industry she loves, and that has given her so many opportunities. Currently, she is on the advisory board for H&H Americas, which will be in Chicago in June 2022. She is best known for being a connector in the industry, which she has been part of for over 18 years. Working with me on the magazines is truly a highlight of her career, she says, especially being the cover pie in Jo's biography book. That never gets old for her. I have to say something before we start about our guest. When she says in her bio that she is a connector in the industry, I want you to know that on my cheat sheet, it is in size 24, bolded and in red, because it is the understatement of all time. Michelle knows everybody and is loved by all of us because she does so much for the industry, for each of us, and all of us together. There is just no one like her. And it is an honor for me to introduce Michelle Muska. Michelle, thank you for on my
podcast. You are so welcome, and I'm so happy to be here. But if this wasn't a podcast and you saw me in person, I am blushing. I'm full red on my face because of all the kind words that you said about me. So I do really appreciate it. And, you know, you yourself have given me a lot over the years, many opportunities in the magazines to share my own artwork. And also to help me in my day job as a corporate person, director of content for Aliso, and I used to work for Simplicity. So you were always so generous in that capacity as well, and I do really appreciate that. So it's a fine line. I feel like that I walk because I'm an artist, but I'm also in the corporate world. And I always have to connect with artists. I think it gives me a little bit of an edge because I speak their language, but it's also sometimes a hard spot to be in.
Well, I think that's an understatement for all of you who are listening, because an artist personality, I believe that an artist personality and that of a corporate personality are very, very different. And Michelle, the thing about Michelle is she's so devoted to both. She's insistent that we all be successful in every area of what we do. And that's why I have invited her to be a guest today. Michelle could actually do 20 podcasts with me because she is an expert in all areas of art, or lots of areas of art. And she is an expert in the business world because working for a company the size of Simplicity trains you in a lot of areas. And I wanted Michelle to talk today about being an influencer for companies, because that is something that I hear all of you talk about a lot. You want to be you want to be paid, you're trying to increase your numbers on Instagram. There's all kinds of things that you want to do with your art to promote you and get paid for it. So, Michelle, I am going to start us off with having you give a brief summary of the two companies, that Simplicity and then Aliso, who you're working for now. And then you can go into being an influencer and what that means to you and the credentials. Sometimes I don't even know the questions to ask, which is why you're here.
Well, you sent me a few questions ahead of time as well, Joe, and I'll address those because I think they were really and are really good questions and gave me kind of an outline to follow. I did work for Simplicity Creative Group, which is a parent brand of many, many brands, which were the four large pattern companies now since they're all under one house. Boy Needle, Easy Quilting, Perler Bead, Dimensions, Needle Crafts, it was just endless. I did a lot of different jobs there. I was an exhibits director. I was a designer. I helped with product development. I did all of the trade shows. I didn't do as much social media back then, but I did a lot of connecting with designers that I hired to do features and articles and projects for us. About 2.5 years ago, I joined the Aliso team. I had been friends with them for many years and a loyal fan of their products. I came on board to help them connect with their customers. And it's been a great opportunity for me because I really get to do what I love, but I also do many of the same things that I used to do. It's a small company. I think people think if you manufacture hard goods, you are a big company. And that's not always true. So we just have a handful of people in the United States and then other pockets of people around the world. So we're a small company, but I feel like we get a lot done. So, we wear a lot of hats. I do still help with product development, which I love. I do the social media for our Instagram account. I do all the logistics for the trade shows. I design the booths. I myself wear and many hats. But one of the things that I do the most is connect with designers, influencers. You have to look at them as being a brand themselves. If you're a designer and an influencer and you have a product to sell, whether it's your lifestyle or you're actually making something, you are also a brand. So I've actually become very close with a lot of my influencers, which Joe will not be surprised about.
I have to say, if Michelle works with her influencers and then she shares them with the magazines so that we're all helping each other and we can help the influencers and they can help me and we're all helping Michelle. So
yeah,
yay for Michelle.
It's like a big circle. It's a big circle. Well, one of the questions you, and I myself, I have a small Instagram account and I am an artist. It's something I have to do. I'm mostly a fiber artist that I do kind of in my spare time. So that means I feel like I'm always working, but it's something that I really enjoy. And I've been able to be in Joe's magazine several times. And I even wrote a column about connecting with people in the business community when in your magazine, Where Women Create Business. Of course, all of us, we don't always have the confidence. And when I say those words now, I think to myself, who was I to think that I could write such a thing, right?
I think you're a genius. So I know exactly who you were.
As we mature, we get older, we're finally able to kind of look within and take care of ourselves and be more confident. And I also feel like the younger generation, I look at my nieces and then I look at my great nieces, especially I'm talking about women. They really are more empowered than I ever thought of being maybe until this age. And that really makes me so incredibly hopeful and happy. for our community. One of the
things, one thing though, that's a personality trait that Michelle has, because I'm older than Michelle and I haven't reached that level of security yet. So when I want to reach out to somebody that kind of frightens me or is more important than I am, then I call Michelle and Michelle get talks to them and then she introduces us. So
and I just get on it, and do it. And I think to myself, oh my God, Joe, she's crazy if she thinks this person doesn't remember her or know her or whatever. But you know, I think that's, it probably is a personality trait. My kids call me a realist. And sometimes it is hard for me to jump in and do things, but I'm just thinking to myself, of course this person knows Joe. I've been real. So it's not an issue. It's not a problem. Hey,
well, thank you.
Therapy always helps too, Joe. So
I've been going to therapy since I was 22.
So one of the questions you asked me was, do you want to ask me or should I just talk?
You can just talk.
Okay. It says, what credentials should an influencer have before contacting a company? What I find really interesting is I'm going to be able to tell you just really from my perspective, working for Aliso. I'm the director of content and community relations. So I connect with all the influencers and we have a wonderful customer service team, but if there's ever a really tough customer, I'm the person that kind of gets them. I feel like I can only talk kind of from that perspective of a smaller company. And I have a lot to share about that. I am looking for anyone that is passionate about their craft, their brand, and what they do, and they don't have to be huge. You know, we all hear about mega influencers, micro influencers. Micro is over 10,000. And then we have these nano influencers. Now, nano influencers are anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 followers. And I'm talking mostly on Instagram. I spend most of my social media time on Instagram. I just am a little more comfortable there. I do post for us on Facebook, but even my own Instagram account, as well as Aliso's, it just feels like a little bit friendlier atmosphere to me and environment. And it's easy to connect with people there. So I think that if you find a brand that you like, whether you use their product or not, hopefully you already do, but if you don't, and you think it's something that you're interested in, it's perfectly fine to reach out and, you know, talk to them about it. I think that you can DM me on social media, you know, just send me a direct message. I'm the person that's always there listening. And many other companies are the same. If that's not the person, ask them who can you can connect with. You can also contact our customer service or anyone's customer service, ask to be put in touch with the marketing department. And or you can answer one of their blogs or make a comment in their social media. And if they don't get back to you right away, try again because they might have missed it. And what you need is for credentials, I think is just being passionate, having an organized kind of message for them and be prepared ahead of time. Think about the questions that they might ask you and have them prepared in maybe a media kit. But I don't feel like you always have to have, you know, a downloadable PDF media kit for somebody. You know, I think that if you think that you're going to fit into their aesthetic or their niche market, I think you should definitely connect with them. We have at least, so I don't have just one single type of follower or customer. We have cosplayers, we have garment sewists, we have perler bead artists, we have crafters, and we have quilters. So since I came on board 2.5 years ago, I've really tried to reach out to all of these different communities. And so I pretty much welcome everybody because I have a certain aesthetic that you could see on my personal account, but for my brand, for Aliso, we have many different types of customers. So I don't just choose the people that have a product that I might have in my home. I make sure as long as it's done well and the influencer is passionate about it, I welcome them in to give it a try.
That's such good advice. So how do they introduce themselves? What do they,
okay. I mean,
you kind of covered that a little bit about, I have to tell all of you that I didn't even know what DMing was on Instagram till about 2 weeks ago. Michelle said to me, why don't you ever answer it? And I said, what is it? And so, tell me. So it's quite important. There were hundreds of DMs actually on mine, and took me all day to go through them. So Michelle knows what she's talking about. So your next topic for everybody is?
We could go a couple of different ways. You asked how people schedule their work. You asked how they get paid. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the type of people I work for and how I look at them and think and see if there could possibly be a good partner. We're very generous at Aliso with sharing our product, but with also sharing information about an influencer. Like I'll take, for instance, Minky Kim. She's become a friend. I love her work. She's a loyal fan. She has 100,000 followers now. And one of the things she has is a great YouTube channel. She offers those us, to link to them. So we'll send out our newsletter and we will have a link to Minky's YouTube. So we are not afraid to send our customers off to somebody else. You know what I mean? So we will share that. So our customers can click on the link. If it was a project that I did, they'll go to our YouTube channel and I'll be there, you know, teaching you, or they'll go to Minky Kim's or Nicole from Wild Boho or someone else. So we're very generous with sharing that information, and not all companies necessarily are. The nano influence is really good for a niche market. So if, you know, you have an unusual product, or they're actually experts in niche markets. They also have a very engaged community usually, and they will have a higher engagement than maybe even some of the mega influencers and also the micro influencers. So what I mean is their rate of engagement is a little bit bigger. And how do you figure that out? Well, I really don't know, but I can tell you where you can go to find out. I might not know how to do it, but I found a couple of websites that I think, and a couple of people that will help you. The Design Twins, I think it's Jackie and Jill, and they're like a home lifestyle brand. But they also really are very willing to give you a lot of free advice about Instagram and how to build your community, but also like, what is it? What is it being an influencer? How do you actually calculate your rate of engagement? They tell you that. And then there's other sites like, say, Social Blue Book. So you know what a blue book is for your car? You know, it gives you the value of what your car is worth. Well, there's a social blue book that tells you what your engagement is worth, what your posts are worth. It used to be free, but it costs now. But if you go to the Design Twins, they'll explain to you what social blue book is all about. So it could either take away the fear of joining social blue book, or at least can tell you what it has to offer. And say Design Twins might give you the information that you actually need. So there are other sites out there that will give you Planoly, Planoly. They have a nice website and give you a lot of information about you using influencers. And you might be an influencer, but as your brand grows, you might want to engage other influencers to help you. So just because you're small and you have 2,000 or 3,000 followers, you can find another influencer that could possibly around the same amount or less followers that also could help propel and grow your brand. Because basically all influencers are a small business when you think about it. In the beginning, I'll tell you how we work with, the other thing about the design twins, they also tell you do's and don'ts, you know, how, you know, not you make sure you credit, you know, photographers and all that kind of stuff, which most people know, but it's a good to have it in writing and to see it, you know, and remind you that it's really important to give as much credit as you possibly can, you know, to the people that are collaborating with you and helping you. So if I kind of just run through, should I just run through how I might work with somebody?
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting to everybody because it makes it more real, right? I mean, let's pretend that I'm an influencer and I'm coming to you and I want to work with Elisa. So,
well, I'll tell you, okay. So, if you contacted me on, DM'd me on social media and said, hi, I'd like to talk to someone about possibly working with Elisa, you know, and probably what I would do at that time is I would probably look at your feed and see what type of influencer or maker you are. And then I usually never turn anyone down unless it's, you know, a crank kind of a thing. So I will give you my email address and I would say, great, let's talk. Here's my email. I can explain more. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and so forth and how you'd like to work together. And when I get that email, it can be many different things. It can be someone that's just starting out and doesn't have a media kit, or it can be someone that's a little more established that has a media kit. If I open that media kit, it will tell me a little bit about themselves. It will also tell me what they charge. Please make sure if you're making a media kit, don't just write what you have done and your social engagement. You know, you need to put your prices in there as well. And at least it gives the person reading it a little bit of idea if you are someone that they can actually afford.
What if they don't know what their prices are or how to charge?
Right. So a couple different things. That's what either like social media, the social blue book or one of the websites possibly can help you with. You might be surprised, you know, in the beginning and when you're small, your engagements aren't worth as much money, say, as someone that might have more engagement or more followers. But it's really important to remember that if you have a large following and not a big engagement with your followers, it's not as valuable to a brand that you want to work with as if you have more engagement. I have some people I work with that no matter what I do with them, it's amazing engagement. Their community is just super engaged with what they do. They love what they do. You feel like they're your friends, you know, that kind of thing. And I always feel like it's a much more beneficial collaboration between both of us. So,
okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So go back.
No, that's fine. So you say you're just starting out and you're sending me a note and you're saying, hi, this is who I am. This is my Instagram. This is my Facebook. This is my blog. This is my website, blah, blah, blah. And you might tell me a little bit about yourself, what you do. And you say, oh, you know, I love your irons. I have the mini, I don't have the big one, or vice versa. Would you be interested in working together? So most of the time when I first meet someone like that, or even if I reach out, because sometimes I reach out to people on Instagram private message, because they might be using an Elisa iron. They're not, might not be an influencer of mine yet, but they are organically because they're using our irons in the background, say. That's the iron that they choose to use. So I might say, I always ask. So may I post your video on our feed? And sometimes I'll run across someone doing a technique that I really like, and you don't see which iron they use, I'll still ask to use their video. And then I'll ask them have you ever used our product? And if they say no, we start the whole process. Email me, you know? So now I have you on my email. You have my contact. You have my phone number. And it depends. Sometimes we just do it through email. Sometimes we have a chat. It's nice to chat to make sure you're clear about what is expected of you. If it's someone I think that we might be a good partner to each other, I will send them a product, probably to start like with the mini iron. And I don't have a list of expectations, what I say, because I'm not paying them right off the bat. That's not really what I have in my budget to do, unfortunately. But what I usually say is, well, let me send you the product and let me know if you like it. If you like our product and you want to post and share, please do. Here's our hashtags that we use if you want to use them, you know. So I'm not really making a lot of demands on someone. And then I will let me know how it goes. Please tell me. I always ask them, please tell me when the iron arrives. Please tell me, you know, send me a quick email or DM me if you liked our product, and let me know if you want to do something further. So if you are kind of a partner with us, what we can provide is sharing on social media. We can put you in our newsletter, and we can maybe sponsor a workshop with you to help you with product. And we will do giveaways with you. So, but I am not asking them to make me 4 projects a year or, you know, but what I do suspect, if I do expect, is if I'm sending you your product and you like it, you know, share it. You know, I think that's only, you know,
ethical.
Yes. Yeah, right. Thank you.
And I have to say, because Michelle and I were putting together a thing for Aliso, and we have a substantial number of followers on Facebook. But when Aliso ran our information in your newsletter that day and the following day, we had 20,000 new followers on
you
Facebook.
You did?
We did. So it is, nobody changed hands, nothing happened, but yeah, it was invaluable for us to have that many new people following us and introduced to the magazines that may not have been familiar. So I think it's important, like you said, that everybody understands that it's not always about the money. It's lots of demands come with money. Lots.
Well, yes, it does. And a lot of companies, I will say, make a lot of demands for free product. We just aren't one of them. A lot of designers also make demands for their pattern testers. A lot of times no money changes hands. But you know, I try to be really sensitive to the fact that, you know, I'm a maker. I know how much time it takes to make something. And if this is going to be your business, yes, you want to be paid. With that said, all companies, no matter big or small, sometimes have a very limited marketing budget. Marketing is kind of a black hole when it comes to many companies, especially larger companies. You know, your ROI, your return on investment in marketing is always not something tangible for a while, because the growth is often organic and it's often hard to measure. And if you have a marketing leader that understands and believes that, it makes your job, my job, a lot easier, because I know that they believe that that's really the best way to connect with your community, to not be a hard sell, you know, to really care about your customers, to care about what they think about your product. So, you know, I've worked for different size companies, but you also, when you're reaching out to somebody, And you, so say, like I was saying earlier, I also, besides not expecting too much out of you, but I also tell you what I can do for you, what I can't do for you right away, but I'm always open to proposals. If you have something that you want to share that's a proposal for money, send it to me, because I might be able to get that approved. A lot of companies, big and small, believe it or not, do really not have a formal marketing budget, because marketing kind of always comes last. And if it's a company that has many brands, just be aware that, say, just because it's a large company and they seem like huge and they have a lot of money, that doesn't necessarily mean each brand gets as many marketing dollars as the next. So if you have a company, the parent company is huge, they have a brand that's a $3 million brand, and then they have a brand that's a $50 million brand, you have to understand that that $3 million brand is not going to get a big piece of the pie, even though it seems like they're all those brands would get the same attention. They just don't. And there's also many layers to marketing department to get approval. So say, for instance, you send in a proposal, the marketing, your connection has to look at that. They have to try to figure out, oh, is that something that I think is going to be beneficial to us as well as to the person making the proposal? And you have to, you know, give them 3 or 4 weeks. Don't think that you're going to get, okay, next week, I want, you know, $900 to do a video series, and I need to know in a week if you want to be a sponsor. It takes a little bit of time, because not only does it have to go to the marketing person, then it might have to go to the director or the vice president, and then it has to go to the CFO so for final approval. So just make sure that, you know, you're giving enough time to that person to you know, kind of figure out, you know, if it's something that matches their brand, that it's aesthetically will fit in with their feed or their story, and give them enough time to see if they can get approval. Also, when, you know, you're first starting out, you might agree to do some one-offs. And as you get larger, the larger you are, you're not as willing to do a one-off anymore, a one-off giveaway or a one-off collaboration. You know, your companies and brands are going to want something that they can build on together. So think about that. Don't be afraid to take something, a single one-off opportunity, so you can put that in your portfolio and save it and grow with that. And then as you get larger and larger, and you have a more engaged community that you can actually prove to a brand that you're reaching out to, that, you know, I'd like to have a partnership, and can we do something that's a little bit more substantial? And don't be afraid to if you create some really good content, you know, don't be afraid to look for more than one sponsor. When you say make, if you're a garment sewist, you're using an iron, you're using fabric, you're using all kinds of notions, you're using thread. So I recently was approached by someone that was doing a video series, and I've worked with her before, and she was doing a series and with a thread company. And of course, she's a loyal fan of ours. She uses our iron all the time. And she said, would you like to be a sponsor? So this is the thing. She would use our iron while she's making the project. She's not going to feature it. She's not going to point out all the features if I wasn't a sponsor. So I was able to be a sponsor. And not only did she use the iron, she also really pointed out, like, why is the sole plate good for this particular fabric? This has continuous steam. This, you know what I mean? She was able to really hone in and talk about that. But say I couldn't have sponsored her, she would still use that iron. You know, it would appear on her ironing board. It would appear in the background. And, you know, don't be afraid to approach someone again. Maybe I couldn't afford to sponsor you at that time, but she still used that product and it's there. And she can show that to you. You can show that to a brand and say, I've used your product before. I use it all the time. You know, would you like me to feature it more in my video YouTube series or something like that?
Michelle, can I ask?
If you are like your example, the sewist, right? Yep. And she's using these four products and she's going to use them all in the same video and she wants them all to be sponsors, do the sponsors have to agree to be in a video with other sponsors? Does she have to say that up front or is that her decision?
Well, I don't know if she has to, but it's usually good. I mean, I would not, because if she doesn't tell me, it seems like I'm the only sponsor and I get top billing. So you want to be forthcoming. It's a good question. You want to be forthcoming and say, you know, I'm doing a video. I want four sponsors. I have a thread company already. I have a scissor company. Would you like to be the iron sponsor, you know, kind of thing? Because I think that's only fair to the company. And remember, you know, provide as much information as possible. It's kind of like they ask you answer, but answer them ahead of time. All the questions they might want to ask, you know what right. I mean? So uh-huh. Say like, if you want to, say like your magazine and you want to, you know, be up top on Google, like, you know, and you do a little like graph, like what magazine shows you the most inspiration. And you might put all those other magazines, but you're going to have all the checks. You know, what magazine has the most beautiful paper, uses the most beautiful paper. You know, it's kind of like an iron. If, you know, which irons have the most wattage, which irons have the longest cord, which irons have the longest shutoff. If I did a graph of that and I put it up on Google, I'd get most of the check marks. The other irons might not. But those are questions that people are looking for. And I'm going to answer their questions before they ask them. So if you can think of some questions that they might ask of you, answer them before they ask. Give them as much information. But as Joe and I were talking before, short and sweet is also good. You don't want to overload them, you know, with long paragraphs. You know, no one's going to read or they don't want to read that. And in the middle of that paragraph, they might get a pop-up of a really important email and they're going to have to answer their boss and okay, maybe I'll get back to that. You know what I mean? And I think that, I think that's, you know, be succinct and, you know, don't be afraid to ask for things. I recently, had a small influencer, reach out to me. And, you know, I'll share this with you. I think it's kind of important because it was a little disappointing that she ended up not working with us. But I was also proud of her for standing her grounds, what she wanted. So she's just starting out. She doesn't have a big following. And she was rather a little, it's not too expensive, but, you know, a little more expensive than I could really pay for someone that isn't vetted yet. You know, I mean, so I never worked with her before. I don't really know what her engagement's like. And she didn't use our product yet, but she wanted to. I did offer, you know, possible product. And she was like, no, I'm not interested in that. I just want the money. And I was like, that's okay. I have to respect that, you know, but you also have to realize that, you know, a lot of companies, some of their products are pricey. And, if they're going to share that with you, and you're just starting out, you know, product is probably something that you can start with in the beginning. You know, a lot of people, I feel like I said earlier, people ask a lot of influencers sometimes for no pay and just for product. And I think that as brands, we also really need to be very sensitive to that. And that's something that I really try to do. And I do understand, like, you know, we can only, you know, do so much. And it's been a tough year and a half for so many people, really. Our supply chain was interrupted. Our shipping costs were out the roof, was crazy. But we got our, we've been working on a new iron for quite a while, our Pro Plus, and it just landed last week. We're getting in yellow, and turquoise and purple are coming in 2 weeks. It's like finally things are opening up, and
it's Christmas.
Christmas, yes, it is almost Christmas actually, and it's such a relief. But my influencers and brands that I work with have been so kind and generous because they know. I mean, everybody has been in a really tough situation, and they've been, you know, very generous with sharing, you know, and in that way, I have to say, I mean, I've made some extremely, you know, pretty close friendships with some of my friends, I'll call them, because they are friends now. And we, you know, share like personal stories and with each other at this point. I'm just saying it's, I think that, you know, being a little generous in the beginning is good. And then know what you want and, you know, set your parameters. And people will respect that, you know.
Well, Michelle, I can't tell you how much I appreciate all that you share and all that you do for everyone. I happen to know that if somebody is interested in being an influencer, they can either email me and I'll forward it on to Michelle, or you can DM her on Instagram and she'll probably answer you faster. She is a resource, an encyclopedia, and so generous with her time and her knowledge. So I think this is a good place to stop. I would like to ask if you'll come back another time and we'll work on another subject. I think what I found about these podcasts is I have never been a fan of podcasts, and I was trying to analyze that the other day. Uh-huh. And I think it's because you get sucked into somebody and what they know, and then it's over. And then you never hear from them again, right? And so that's like a frustration level for me, because when people have so much to share, I want him on our podcast at my kitchen table more than once, because you could talk for 45 minutes on 25 different subjects. So
as we said earlier, yeah, I sometimes have an issue with that. I am ADHD, and I do sometimes really have a hard time not interrupting people. It's not because I'm rude. I have to like bite my tongue, because it's just really hard to, I get so excited, and it's in, you know, my DNA. I'm just like my dad like that, you know. I just, it's hard to stop. It's hard to
hold on. We love that about you. So with that is a perfect segue into, what is one secret that you would like to tell our audience that they may not know? Is it that you have ADHD?
No, I'm willing to share that. Well, you know, it's just so funny. I think I like, well, if you know me well, you'll already probably know this, but I really love to watch really scary, creepy detective stories from Scandinavia and Australia, New Zealand. You know, I don't like horror movies, but, you know, and my husband always comes down to my TV room and says, "What violent thing are you watching now?" I get, you know.
I love that. That's so opposite to your gentle, kind spirit.
Well, on the other hand, I love Anna Green Gables, and I did just watch Pollyanna last week. So I'm just saying, I got two sides. I have two sides.
No, I think you probably have 22 sides.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay, one more thing.
Sure.
So before you go, just for this time, I always ask somebody to end their segment on with what their favorite quote is.
Oh, and I really have only one. And if anybody asks me, it's the same one. It's by Oscar Wilde, and it's be yourself, everyone else is already taken.
And I love that about you. I love that you love everyone else for just being themselves, right? You are the best.
Thank you.
I want to thank you 1,000 times for coming. And I want to thank all of you for listening. And I hope you will come back when Michelle is a guest again. And I always end my podcast with my favorite saying, that is, Michelle and all of you, I love you with a thousand hearts.